Would you please pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, come as mighty wind or gentle breath. Blow on the embers of our faith. Empower us to speak and to act so there might come a day when there is not a needy person among us. And all God's children said, Amen. Pentecost has been called the birthday of the church. On that Sunday morning, the Spirit came and gifted all the followers of Jesus, not just the leaders, to speak the truth of God's power and love into the world. Men and women, young and old, received the Spirit that morning. And later, it would be Jews and Gentiles, slaves and free people, who would also be set on fire to tell the good news of the coming of the kingdom to anyone who would listen. Those of you who may have seen the television program, Touched by an Angel, I'm realizing that some of my illustrations are really dating myself. But there it is, okay? Have seen this program, know that there's always a moment of revelation when the coffee addicted, I knew I liked her way back when, right? The coffee addicted, an endless compassionate angel, Monica, appears, suddenly dressed in white and bathed in that backlit glow. And as her astonished witness looks on, they're trying to figure out what is happening, while Monica says something like this: I am an angel sent by God, who wants you to know how much God loves you. Life for the person who has been touched is never ever the same again. When the day of Pentecost came, those onlookers experienced a glowing presence that said to them, I am the Holy Spirit sent by God to tell you that you are not alone and that God can do some amazing things in your life. It must have been quite a sight. There in the upper room, the disciples had been waiting and waiting and waiting as the resurrected Jesus had instructed them to do. And as they were waiting, I don't know, maybe it was quiet, maybe they were playing cards. I don't know what they were doing, right? But they were waiting. And then all of a sudden they heard a mighty wind. They saw tongues of flames above their heads. They were touched by the Holy Spirit of God. The gathered crowd saw it, and they came running to see what was going on. And the church was never the same again. Because they had been touched by the Spirit of God, the people could hear with understanding. People from other cultures. So English is our primary language. And as other people joined in, anybody who might be able to speak Japanese could now understand. Anybody who can't hear with their ears could now understand. Think about that. It might not only be our language. It might be what we do and how we do it. The disciples prayed and praised God as the Spirit touched them. And the gifts of the Spirit touched the ears of all who heard. This is not about speaking in tongues. Spiritual tongues. Or uttering an angelic or God-type language. This is the inspired capacity to speak a foreign language. And it's amazing because this shows the inclusivity of God's Spirit. All were included. The disciples, the followers, young people, old people, strangers from across the land. So in part, Pentecost celebrates communication. Everyone can understand what the Spirit is saying because maybe, just maybe, for the first time ever, the Word of God spoke to all peoples from all lands at the same time. Yeah. The people became unleashed people of God and the Spirit of God with the Word of God for the glory of God in the world.
Amen.
This is a continuous theme throughout Scripture. God has chosen to call out not just individuals, but a people for God's self. God told the Israelites, I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. Amen. God didn't say to just one person.
Amen.
Drew was not the only special one in the house. We are all special people in the house.
Amen.
Through Christ, God brought Jews and Gentiles together as one body. in which each member belongs to all the others. Peter told the church, you are a chosen people, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of God who called you out of darkness into God's wonderful light. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that what the people of today's scripture reading did? They were excited. They were giddy. They were all talking and praising God at one time. And it's no wonder that people thought they were drunk. If that's what drinking means, hey, bartender, give me another drink.
Amen.
I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Bartender, give me a drink of the spirits. Oh, wow, that might be wrong on a couple different levels, right? All right, to be empowered and moved by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus as promised by God. I pray for the Holy Spirit to fall on this body of believers known as Reconciliation Metropolitan Community Church, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be empowered and moved by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus as promised by God. This will enable us to lock arms with each other in a single-minded, death-defying obedience to one objective: the declaration of the gospel for the demonstration of God's glory to all peoples, to all nations. This may or may not literally mean speaking in another foreign language, spreading the word through preaching or teaching. This might look like a person sitting with you, listening to where you are in your journey of addiction. Somebody not judging you, instead embracing you and being with you. Because they know that no matter what you are, who you are, your past, your present, you are still worthy of God's love.
Amen.
This might be somebody holding your hand as you receive the results of your biopsy, because he or she has been where you are and could wrap their mind around the anxiety you might be feeling at that very moment in time. And they know that no matter what, God won't leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
This might be someone who has no words, yet offers a hug and to simply let you cry over the loss of a loved one. And they could wrap you in their heart and in their mind around the space around you, because they too have lost somebody they love. And they know that no matter what, God walks with us. God walks with us in the valley of the shadow of death.
Yes.
I can't help but wonder if people are able to do these things because they are open to God's Spirit. So herein, I believe, lies the call of this Pentecost day: to open ourselves to God's Spirit, to be empowered, to be gifted, in order that we may be sent to bring God's life, God's grace and forgiveness, and God's empowering Spirit to all others. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In part, this means that no matter if I lose my voice or not, I don't always have to preach and teach and talk. Because no matter if I lose my voice, I don't care if it's 20 minutes, 20 days, or the rest of my life, I will find a way to spread God's light and love to this world.
Amen.
In part, this means that Pentecost is not a moment of personal bliss, or simply an experience that can be enjoyed in some type of euphoria. Rather, it is a moment which changes everything in our lives. And we are equipped and marked for God's reign, and in which our quest to follow Christ is made possible through the gift of the Spirit. The evidence of a Pentecost church then is not so much particular gifts or experiences, but about the life and the grace and service that the church brings to this world. We are filled with the Spirit, not for our own sakes, but for the sake of the world that God loves so dearly. In every community, every neighborhood, and every church, God's Spirit seeks to enable people to speak one another's language. to welcome and serve one another, to work together, to serve and empower those who most need help and compassion. We often think that serving means in here. We need help vacuuming. We need help putting the shed up to finish our ramp. Do we need those things? Yes, we do. A volunteer is greatly accepted. Please step forward. All right. We do need those things. If you're not gifted in those things, there's all kinds of things we can do here. When God's Spirit fills us, we find ourselves being sent to serve others. We find ourselves seeking to bring peace and reconciliation between people. We find ourselves seeking to understand those who are different from us. And we find ourselves reaching out in compassion and service to those who are marginalized, excluded, poor, diseased, rejected. Rather than lifting us up above others into a group that is somehow favored by God, Pentecost pulls us down to connect with those that we would never naturally have the strength or inclination to relate to. Rather than leading us out of the world, Pentecost drives us back into the world to proclaim and live the prophetic message of God's reign as Christ did. This is a very personal mission for me. For I believe within my heart of hearts that we as a people filled with the Holy Spirit are called to go beyond these walls and to make a difference in the world in which we live. We are called to proclaim and live the prophetic message of God's love. I stand up here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and I talk about that. It excites me. Amen. Just because that's where my calling is, doesn't mean that that's where your calling is. But you have a calling. Each and every one of us has a calling. The question is do we sit in the upper room, behind the closed doors, behind the closed windows, and keep them locked, thinking nothing can break through them? The Holy Spirit will break through them. The Holy Spirit will rest on you. The Holy Spirit will give you the language or the gifts or the talents or the ability or the knowledge or the wisdom. Will give you something so that you can share that light and that love with other people. The question is, are you sitting still long enough to listen? And then when you hear it, do you run from it? Or do you run to it? Yeah, most of us run from it, don't we? We do. This I can guarantee you. If you ever decide to run to it, you will never, ever regret it. Never. The Holy Spirit doesn't give us gifts to serve ourselves. We are to reach out to each other with these gifts, being supportive, encouraging one another, praying for each other, walking this journey with one another, learning together, growing together, and going into the world serving together. Because there are billions who do not yet know that Jesus is the grave-conquering, life-giving, all-satisfying, all-loving God. There are more than 50 million people in the world starving to death. They lack food, water, and basic medical care. Children are dying of diseases like diarrhea. Many will suffer lifelong brain damage from early protein deficiency. Others will be sold into forced labor or sold for sexual exploitation. Nearly 150 million children are orphans. On May 22nd, a massive tornado ripped through Joplin, Missouri, as if a giant came through cruelly with a machete, carving up a chunk of town. And among its path was Spirit of Hope MCC. The church was destroyed while people were in it, as well as the home of the pastor and his partner. I imagine many homes of members of the congregation. This is a community of 50,000 that swells to 400,000 during a work day. And I thought long and hard about what I would do in this situation. Actually, it really hit home because not maybe a month ahead of time, we were having a Tuesday Bible night study. And the tornado whistle went off. And it was like, I kicked right into military mode. First of all, I did not dive under a table, which I was really proud of, because I wanted to, right? Those are air raid missile sirens in the military, right? And bless everybody's heart, they just kind of went with me. I went right into military mode. All right, everybody get up, go down in the basement. I wasn't even nice about it, I don't think. Everybody get up, go down in the basement now. And they're like, okay, all right, you know? But it really makes you wonder. It makes you wonder what we would do if that tornado had torn this church down and destroyed any of our homes. I don't know what I would do, because I haven't traveled that journey, and I find myself with no answers. So today, the best that I can do and we can do is help them out. Today and next Sunday, we will be receiving Visa cards and financial contributions following our regular tithes and offering. And we're going to send it to them. Right now, that's what they need. They need food. They need help paying for hotel. They need help paying for repairs. I don't know what else to do. In our own backyard, we continue to collect food, clothes, and household items on behalf of North Kent Service Center. It's a nonprofit organization of neighbors helping neighbors. We're currently in the midst of getting some baskets to them. And the basket's set right here. So any Sunday you come in, if you've lost weight and you'd like to help people with clothes, you can put your clothes in those baskets. If you've gained a couple of pounds, you can do the same thing. New and slightly used. Go through your cabinets. Did you accidentally buy cream of mushroom soup this week and then buy it again next week? Take it. Give it. It's amazing what two loaves and some fish will do, right? Multiply. The world may react in many ways to all that is happening around us. This worse before it gets better, with fear and defensiveness, greed and violence. We see it all the time when towns are destroyed and looters go and take things. It's the greed and violence. You got no home, you got no electricity, what are you going to do with a television set? Yeah. Right? But we have a stunning vocation, as Walter Brueggemann says, to stand free and hope-filled in a world gone fearful. And to think, imagine, dream, vision a future that God will yet enact. Mind you, we're not in charge. God is in charge. And we are called to imagine this future, to trust in it, to live in it, to participate in it, share it with all of God's children. In the book of Acts, we see the gifts were given to the entire community. They weren't given just to the leaders, just to the pastor, just to the board of directors. They were given to everybody. In 1 Corinthians, Paul reminds us there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, and there are varieties of activities. But it is the same God who activates all of them and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The gifts Paul mentions are among the gifts we still need in today's church. Each day's news gives evidence of the hurt, anger, and confusion in the world around us. People are starving for spiritual food that will feed their hungry souls. They need a filling word from the church. This is no time for idle talk. It is the time for people to pray and then to speak the truth that is in them. In order to do so, we need people. We want people in the church who are empowered by the Spirit, who can speak wisely and knowledgeably. There are people we know who can make us feel better just because we know that they are in the room with us. They can soothe with a touch and a word. They are concerned for others, and it's genuine. And they share freely the spiritual gift of healing. There are people we know who have an uncanny ability to get things done, even when it seems impossible. Those are the miracle workers among us. There are others who are in touch with what God is calling us to do. They are not fortune tellers. They're not looking into a crystal ball. They're not flipping and counting cards. They're not psychics. But they do have the gift of vision and insight. They are our prophets. They make use of their gift of being in touch with God to articulate through their vision a word from God. They are the faithful forward thinkers among us. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Great things happen when the Spirit comes. Greater things have yet to come. I want you to look around. This just never ceases to amaze me. I want you to look around. 2 years ago, we were looking around at 13 faces right here. Look where we are now.
Amen.
Give it up. Give it up. Spirit by creating our foundational documents and updating that, our standard operating procedures, our vision statement, our mission statement, our bylaws. Next, surprise board, next, the board will be working on what we call systems and processes. That's not a very glorious word for church, and I wish I could find some really fancy name for it. But it's the reality of it. How we do what and when we do it. And it lays the groundwork. And it continues to put another brick on our building so that we can be flexible. And we can be consistent. Because God doesn't like chaos. And the Holy Spirit has just breathed upon us. And many of us have gone, thank you. Breathe some more. We are ready. Light this place on fire.
All right. Amen.
Not everyone's there. That might be okay. If you're not there, if you want to be there, I encourage you to do a couple of things. Look into your Bible. Read it. Listen to it. Interact with it. Call me. I don't have the answers. I don't claim to have the answers. But I'll claim to walk with you through it. Until you find something that brings you peace, call a member of the board. Reach out to somebody sitting next to you. Feel the Holy Spirit, because when that Holy Spirit rains down, we are going to lock arms. And we are going to walk through town one day in a gay parade and let everybody know that no matter who you are, God loves you. And in our midst will be everybody that's rejected.
Amen.
We will have single parents. We will have interracial relations. Mixed relationships. We will have straight people, tall people, gay people, anything in between people. We will have little ones. We will have older ones. Our sons and daughters will prophesy. They will dream visions for our future as God directs us, as the Holy Spirit rains down upon us. And when we're done with that parade, we're going to reach out to other MCCs. And we're going to share with them things that we're learning and the way that we're growing and the way that we're growing. And we're going to reach out and ask them how they're doing. And when we're done with that, we're going to go into the community. We're going to have a little block party where everybody's invited. They're our neighbors. Does anybody even know who they are? And then when we're done with that, we're going to go to Habitat for Humanity because we know there are homeless people living on the streets.
Right.
And then when we're done with that, we're going to go to the Renucci House. And it's like a Ronald McDonald house in one of the local hospitals. And we're going to cook a meal for people who are there, who are tired and drained because their family members and loved ones are going through some extensive processes. And why are we going to do that? Because the Holy Spirit is breathing upon us. And we are listening. Amen.
Amen.
Great things happen when the Spirit comes. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Unlock the doors of your heart. Unlock the doors of your mind. Unlock the doors of the busyness of the world. And receive those gifts. May God add wisdom and understanding to these words.
Amen. Amen.